Just Play Podcasts, here with myself, Ryan Tricky, and my lovely blonde bombshell of a partner, Mr. Andy Aitken. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. I think more suitable to grey hairs than blondes these days, but appreciate
sure.
It. Hey, yeah, on the side. You won't be able to see it, because obviously this is a podcast, but I can show you there are good little clumps of grey coming in.
Oh no. Well, I've got plenty of experience in that, so no, it's all good. Being 40, you know, I'm surprised you haven't mentioned
it.
No,
you 40, are you? I didn't know.
Yeah, I know. Bit of an old boy. No. So anyway, less about us. Nice light-hearted approach to the start of this podcast, and we want to try and keep it that way. But I think for what we want to try and talk about is kind of the fear of failure in tennis. Okay, so we have, you know, our sport is, as I'm sure Andy will testify to, is one of the hardest sports to actually play. I think it's even, you know, been researched and studied that way as well. And parents obviously out there from multitude of different sports, you might find, especially from that younger age of child or maybe going for adolescence, you know, there's a lot of kids that tend to just want to stand up and quit, you know, I've no apparent reason or whatever it may be, whatever their reasoning. And we wanted to maybe just try and have a little discussion point around that as to what you can do as parents, coaches, to try and build on in this case in tennis, but obviously keep your kids playing and not necessarily, you know, letting the fear of failure be the reason for them to stop, and actually just try and educate your child a little bit more and give them a chance at losing, as you're going to be experiencing that at times. And I think when we talk about kind of youngsters, 4 to 8 years old, how do we make our sport, what's our expectations of our sport to, you know, promote tennis and, you know, loosely make mistakes, so to speak?
What intro to is that a question or are you
Absolutely. So what would you say your lessons look like, and what are you trying to get from your lessons to try and stop those kids thinking about stopping? What are they?
I mean, it's such a minefield, isn't it? Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I liked your little chance to lose there. Look, at the end of the day, we grow up from a very early age playing board games, card games, running races, poo sticks, you name it. Everything's a competition, right? You never want to lose. You and I are probably testament to that. Losing is never a good thing. However, I think when maturity and age begin to hopefully hit the correct age, might have not hit yourself yet, Ryan, obviously being 39. Ooh, but I think it's going to be very much the teaching of it is probably, I guess, in a nutshell, what we're going to talk quite a lot about. I think from my perspective, it's obviously knowing individuals, in your groups, in your one-to-ones, knowing what motivates them. A lot of children these days are still motivated by competition and points and prizes, medals, trophies, whatever it may be at the end of the rainbow, so to speak, in terms of that. Others are more motivated in terms of seeing success, whether it be technically or tactically. So how do we dress that up? How do we try and get them to feel that success and hopefully stay in sport, whether it be tennis, football, any, you name it, and I guess try and get them to do it. I believe from an early age, I think it's going to be more about the team element. I think a lot of kids sort of gravitate to, you know, football, rugby, netball, gymnastics, whatever it may be, and having team competition. I think tennis has certainly started to get a little bit more that way. You look at Laver Cup and things like that, historically Hopman Cup in Australia. So I think for me, when there is a group setting and there are individuals in there that maybe need pushed along, I would always sort of set something up as a teaching point from my perspective. And then when we try and put it into a bit of practice, it is, right, you know, the group of eight I've got, right, you guys are all going to be a team now. We've got to get to 100 points. There might be an element where I say two players in the team, unfortunately, if they hit in the net, are going to have minus points, whereas two members in the team get double points for an area. So I think as an initial foundation part of competition, I think it's very much setting the scene, right? You can do things as a team. I guess that's in a long-winded answer from myself. That's probably where I would start their journey.
Yeah, and let's just say, rightfully so. Let's just say you've had, a lesson with. Again, we talk about maybe the early ages more so because I think it's mostly, experiencing fun elements, isn't it? And it's kind of that seems to be the way. Obviously, that we want to paint and paint our picture for our lesson so that kids come in and instantly they're activating, they're fun, they're intense. You're kind of, getting everything out of them that they want to kind of experience in a session. But obviously, when we're teaching skills like forehands, backhands, things like that, making that seem, the hardest part is obviously if we can get a rally from in tennis, that gets your game started, doesn't it? And that's probably the hardest part from somebody who's never picked up a racket before at a young age to getting them to rally. That is probably the hardest part, I think, or maybe the barrier to our sport that we've got to try and address. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so. I think it is, yeah, as you say, it's addressing that. But I guess coming back to you, how does that get addressed? You know, I think a lot of it is probably going to be that we always look at that sort of triangle, don't we? We've got coaches, player, parent. You know, we're always going to speak, and a lot of this pod is going to be probably from our perspective as coaches. But does it become a little bit more actually a lot of this pod is actually, well, should it be from the parent? Is it that, you know, that role model of a parent, how they take a child to a tournament or to a lesson in terms of objectives? You know, today is actually rather than winning a match, is it a case of actually you've got to have fun today? And it is just very much a very small stepping stones. And again, it comes back to surely the individual in front of you, doesn't it?
I think, when you kind of talk about the, I suppose when we're talking about why maybe kids come out of, let's say in our case, our sport, what are the common denominations of reasons or kind of the reasoning behind it is, not having enough fun, not getting enough success, not getting enough tennis. So I know it sounds a bit stupid, but, if you're quite young and you can't, we're struggling to catch a ball. I think from, I know we're talking about coaching wise, but also spinning it off to the parents and that type of thing, and obviously the child, is that we need to try and engage from parent and coach that, the game is going to be quite hard and we have to start with, find find skills, easier skills to start off with to build coordination and those kind of, you might say, like simpler skills to kind of get the game going. Yeah, because obviously, if you can catch a ball, if you can move and catch, you can do all those sort of things with left and right. That makes the game, like learning technique and kind of getting your journey going, a lot faster, doesn't it? So, I think there's a lot of stuff out there where kids maybe are kind of going to certain sessions, perhaps, and they go and they experience maybe a bit of failure that they can't do it. And I suppose what I'm maybe trying to say more so, and to yourself, Andy, is that, I think it's important that we address to, to parents that if they're failing, it's not the end of the world. If a kid wants to quit, it's really, I think from my younger age, if I made a mistake, I was told like, get back in there, go have a go, rather than it being, I think maybe today's kind of society maybe more kind of child led. Is that fair to say to you? And then, so, if a kid's come and try something at 8 or 6, whatever, and they're not having that experience of either fun or kind of success, then they're not going to be with you that long, are they? And I think what I'm trying to move into is the, if your child is going and they're kind of, you're having those battles at getting them to the lesson because they're, struggling to get into the session. They're struggling to kind of hit forehands, and you know you've got other kids in the process in your group saying, "When are we playing tennis?" You know, these sort of things is what we hear. It's important from our triangular relationship for sure to kind of encourage that child to do more, to practice more. But also not just to take them out because they're necessarily saying they don't want to be there. It's trying to encourage them and educate them to say, right, you're going to make failings. The game's going to be hard. You know, teaching the losing side of the game, so to speak, rather than just seeing success. Right? So you're having fun, but you're not going to get it all the time, are you? And like you said with your example earlier, you said, right, I'm going to give that person double points. Well, you're giving them double points because they can't do something as good as the other person that can, right? So you're kind of our coaching is changing and you know, hopefully making it better for that child's experience. But when we're talking about young age categories, you know, and things like that, where they're so fickle, that, you know, they can drift in and out. I mean, that's kids, right? We just got to, I suppose we're just talking a little bit about how do we retain that?
Well, I mean, I guess I laugh a little bit because I think back to like, you know, so say a child comes to your tennis club or to my tennis club, you know, do we put a billboard of like, you're gonna have really good fun today, but stay in the journey, you're gonna fail a bit, probably gonna cry a bit, but you're gonna have success in 12 to 18 months. Now, if you were to put that on a billboard at the start, at the front gate, out of 10 kids and parents, how many do you think still walk through that gate? So let's let that open question to you. So you've got a billboard in front. What I basically just said, right? It's a journey. You're gonna have failings. You're probably gonna fail like 90% of the time. You're gonna have success 10% of the time. But actually, at the end of the road, it's gonna look like this. And actually, you're gonna have success. But you've got to be a part of the journey to start with. You know, how many people will walk through that gate, do you think?
I get what you're pointing out that there won't be that many, right? But at the same, you know, at the same time, I'm sure you've had kids that have come to your great sessions, no doubt, but have still not enjoyed the game and they've still decided to not be there. And that's
Correct,
what
yeah.
we're trying to, that's the point I'm trying to, we're trying to kind of get towards is what can we educate the parents, in all different sports that when that time does happen, what do we do about it? You know, yes, I know we kind of, you know, marketing's out there. We make our sessions fun. Of course we do. And we try and do the best we can to adapt to all of those different skills that we have. And we have specific age groups, specific sessions tailored to specific age groups, and ability levels, and so to speak. And I think maybe there's even a cross section now where we are maybe bringing more abilities together, and then trying to, like you say, kind of offering different things. But like I say, you still have that moment in time where yes, we're kind of saying we're going to have fun, but from a parent's point of view, and they kind of have their you know, if you're a parent, you're a parent now, I'm a parent, and you know, your child comes up to you and just says, "Dad, Dad, I don't like it, don't like it." And they've been to your, you know, your assistant, let's say, or my kind of coaching session or whatever, and they've come out and they've said they don't like it. And this is probably a very common, I would say, a very common theme in sport that might happen because kids are maybe, like you say, they're not mature enough. Then they need, you know, educate, not educating, but you know, kind of they need to have fun as a kid. That's obviously goes without saying. But they also need to. You know, when you ride a bike or you learn to walk, as kids, they're not thinking about the failure, whereas I think kids nowadays know a bit more about failure a bit earlier on. Is that fair to say?
I mean the analogy you used there about riding a bike, you know, that I would, you know, it's that's like a life skill, isn't it? Walking, running, you know, sidestepping, whatever it may be. Tennis is not, and some sports are not going to be viewed like that. You know,
No.
all sports are a commodity, right? You know, you don't have to do any of that. You don't
No,
have to
no.
ride a bike, you don't have to swim, but they're all seen as life skills. It'd be great for you to ride a bike so you can go from your home to the park. You know, you could ride to school. You have swimming as a skill because actually it's really good. Plus, you know, it could actually end up saving your life at the end of the day, potentially, you know, where you are in the world. So
Yeah.
it's a tricky one. You know, I don't Again, we're going to go obviously sort of round in circles, aren't we? To a certain extent, we keep on coming back to how do you change this? The more we discuss this, I think the more I think it is surely led from parents, is it not?
No, I think there's definitely the relationship. I definitely think there's a relationship because if you've got your parent, your child and your coach, if you're coaching, so this goes out to obviously coaching. If coaching's not great, like good enough, kids aren't having enough fun, that type of thing is going to be one of those reasons for potentially stopping that sport, whether it be tennis, whatever it may be. If there is a parent who's potentially out there just to kind of just drop the kids off and give them an experience with without expectation, because there's certain parents obviously I'm sure that have more plans for their kids and others that kind of just want them to just see where it takes them, so to speak. I think it's a it's a as soon as somebody as soon as a child steps onto your court, I think it becomes that relationship, doesn't it? And I think it's, I think the parents have obviously do play a big part because obviously, you've got to educate parents, you've got to educate your kids to learn to lose. I know that sounds very kind of negative, but actually, that's how you learn. So when I kind of talked about the whole riding, walking, at that point of time, when you're a little baby, you don't think about the failure because you just get up, you fall down. You get up again because you want to do it again, and you fall down. You take two steps, you fall down, then you do three, four, five, and then you can walk. So it's like practice is obviously a major part of this, probably this argument, isn't it? And with us so many sports on offer, that's out there, they can interlink in certain ways in terms of coordination and speed and agility and balance, that type of thing, that are good for all of your kind of sports. But ultimately, as sports coaches, as parents, we've all got a relationship to try and educate that child to, before they think about choosing to stop a sport, or when they start to see the failings or negativity in a sport, let's say, I think it is going to be kind of losses in this case. Not enjoying it might be a loss. Not having fun, a loss. Losing a match, a loss. That kind of thing. It's really important before we kind of, in my view, that we get kids to ask questions, maybe, or we ask those kids the questions, and it might come around to kind of goal setting or expectations. I know it seems quite early on for, say, a 5-year-old or something, but obviously that's as we talk about this journey that these kids are going to be going on. They're going to experience it, and obviously, if we teach them that everything's golden and lovely, and that it's not likely to fail, then we're leading them on the wrong path. Is that not fair to say?
Yeah, I guess that's fair for anything in their life.
So,
Yeah, I mean, go, sorry.
I was going to say it's just a discussion point, really, that we're kind of. This is not, as we're unscripted. We're asking these questions and discussing the point of. This is something that happens in sport, and because we've got, I think there's 150 odd sports or activities around my area, certainly, that you can get involved in. Obviously, that's a big barrier. But so we've got a lot of competition, so to speak. But when your child is going into a sport, closing this down is basically, I suppose we're asking why, what can we do in order to make that child's journey as good as it can be, but also at the same time give them the kind of the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle to building a better kind of maturity in a sport. Maturity seems too old, but do you know what I mean? It's like
No,
building better
yeah,
success
no.
or
Not knowledge,
development.
understanding, education, isn't it? Like you sort of touched on. And again, that certainly sounded like a broken record. The more I still continue to listen to this and sort of really changing my opinion, it's still very much because of the amount of time that we're with someone, a player. You can only do so much, right? It is gonna, again, without, as I said, broken record, it comes back to parent and child slash player together. An example is the other day, we're talking about essentially my stepson's school meals this week. And he's a bit of a picky eater at the moment, being sort of 6 years old. And my other half is like, right, he's going to try this, he's going to try this. And he's very inquisitive at the moment. He's like, oh, what's it called? And you give him a food, he's like, oh, what's it called? And he's already making assumptions based on the name of it, not even trying it. So, yeah, I guess coming back to, what it is, like somebody trying tennis for the first time. It might be a parent saying, oh, look, let's go and try it, the enthusiasm, etc. Oh, right, we're going to stick it out. Oh, you did really well today. You hit like a milestone. And, the cliched things of like sticker boards and reward charts and stuff like that. Again, not talking necessarily specifically about tennis right now, but yeah, they're the kind of things that I guess will hopefully keep somebody going long term. Again, always coming back to the point of this pod. How do you stop somebody from leaving? I mean, crikey, you can't inevitably, right? The long and short of it is you can't stop anybody from wanting to not do something. It's very much just trying to instill in someone's mind that there is success, and that definition of success is going to be very different to, a national player trying to win a national title to somebody starting their journey wanting to hit a ball over for the first time. It might be very simply we do a coaching session and then they go and play as a family and they just, they show mum and dad their skills and they're like, whoa, you've really improved and you've really done much better. It might just be an improvement point of view. So, in a long-winded answer to my answer to this pod is very, very much parent-led, guardian-led. Can you stop anybody? No, but again, very, very individualized in terms of planning, goal setting, so to speak.
I think, I think maybe going possibly, maybe the wrong wording, so to speak, but it's just a kind of like a not necessarily stopping them from doing it, but re let's say reducing the risk, so to speak. So I know we can't obviously stop things, but I think what we need to I'm trying to maybe get out there is obviously, like you say. I know you've got the charts and the extrinsic rewards. We want to kind of maybe internalize, as best as we can to that child, as best as we possibly can, what they're trying to do. And obviously we talk about fun, right? So if they're doing a skill, we make the skill a lot easier because they have more success, but actually then we make it a bit harder when they start to fail. So let's say we're doing a tap up drill where we're changing the skill from simple to hard. And obviously, it gets to a point as you've had millions of years of practicing these with kids, and you've had that kind of little tap up skill or that skill that's gone wrong. Well, not gone wrong. Sorry, that's probably the wrong wording. It's they're starting to reduce the amount of success they're having. And now they are starting to turn on you a little bit and kind of go, well, I can't do this anymore. I can't, tennis, these sort of comments, we've all had them as coaches. And I know it kind of goes back to parent, like parents and things. Parents have obviously got a big responsibility. We know that. But I suppose obviously what we can both do in order to try and reduce that curve from happening is, I think the big term and the kind of thing that we talk about is that learning from your losses, like learning from your failings. And obviously from a young child, they've got to have success and fun. But I think in there, we do need to, like the tap up, ex like demonstrate explanation. Let's say they're going to eventually fail, but they've succeeded before they get to that failing. Does that make sense? So, yeah, I think when you're kind of parents, when you're thinking about your kids and they started to come and have those questions to you, and you're starting to have those tired times of getting them in the car. We've all had it, rainy day. Tennis is seen a sunny sport. We've had that as well, Andy, I'm sure, where you've got kids that turn up and they're just like, oh, I just don't want to play, whatever. That's probably a different reason, not necessarily quitting the sport, but these kind of add to that kind of, you go to a football game, doesn't matter if it rains, you just turn up, that's it, that's just what you do, and you doesn't matter, you come to tennis, if there's a little bit of rain, they might not do it, or if they can't do a skill, in a team sport, like we're talking about the team element. You do get people around you that support you because they're your kind of support structure. Tennis is isolating. I know as we're going to try and make it a team sport, but ultimately the game is down to you as a player. That kind of seems quite hardball, isn't it? But obviously, practice, persistence. If you want to get better at whatever sport your kid is looking to try and get involved in, A, you need to have the skills from the coach. B, you need to have the practice from, parent and player, and, maybe coach and player if it gets that far in individuals. And so I suppose what I'm trying to say is that if it does get to that point where we think, you're finding it hard to bring your child over to sport, I would never force anybody to stay in tennis at all. I would say, look, go and try another sport. But ultimately, I would love them to stay in tennis, goes without saying. So it's just the case before that ends up happening, have a chat with your coach. Maybe think about things that you can do. I mean, I'm sure you have parents that ask you questions about how they can, what they can do to make their child better, or whether they can do it because they're experiencing the, not developing at the right level that they want to, for example. And then hopefully finding a common ground that can reduce that risk. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think that sort of, again, having that, like you say, that communication is good. I know probably not frequently enough, but I try each summer term at the end of the term to have like a parents week, basically. I try and step off of court and any parents that want to come along and watch their kid, and I get an assistant hopefully to just jump on, just have those conversations. Again, those conversations maybe should be a little bit more regular. Maybe we should be given, not like school reports as such, but better feedback. I'm guilty of it. I hold up my hands. Kids will drop in for a session and then go at the end of the session, go to the car park, go home, and that interaction is very limited with the parent. It might just be enrollment time where you're like, oh, do you want to continue? Are you in the right group? Blah blah blah, and that's very limited. So, and by that point, it might be too little, too late. They might say, actually, no, we're going to stop this term or whatever it may be. Like you say, with regards to weather, we're going to come into obviously a period of the year where it's going to start to get a bit cooler, a bit wetter. Their enjoyment is also going to be based on the weather. Are they warm enough? I've had plenty of instances, I'm sure you have, where kids have rocked up in, a very thin jumper and shorts. It started raining, but it's been drizzle. They haven't got a raincoat. The session's suitably okay to continue, but you're looking at that child going, gosh, you are not being dressed in appropriate clothing, and now your enjoyment's going to go down because you haven't dressed appropriately, not necessarily what's being delivered by a tennis coach or a sports coach. So, yeah, it's so tough, and I think everyone does their very best. At the end of the day, I think we're looked at as people that are running a business, and the more bodies we have on court, the more money we make, and that is right, so to speak. But I think I speak probably on behalf of both of us, where we still want people to have a great journey in sport, whether it be tennis, to have longevity. Resilience is something I think you have to build up in time, and it is, I would personally, this might be controversial, I think it is just a personality trait that you have from the start. I think you can build up a little bit of resilience and you can get better with it, but there are going to be kids that will happily run around on a football pitch in the rain, slide around, get muddy, and there'll be some that look from the passenger seat of a car and go, it's a bit drizzly, I don't really want to get out today. And I think that is, yeah, I don't think you can necessarily learn that too well. I think you can get better at it, but I don't think you can go from sitting in a car when it's drizzly to 1 week later sliding around getting muddy.
Oh yeah,
Would you disagree, or?
I mean we do certain things like giving the kids responsibility, for example. And I kind of say at the start of the lesson we have like a bit of a win list. So rather than giving the parents all the objective, we give them simple goals that kind of learn organization, for example. So they've got to say, we say, right, what have you got to bring with you every single week? What have you got to bring? Not your parents. What have you got to be bringing? And I know, obviously, you might say from a 6-year-old's point of view, they're doing that, but they go into play school at 3 years old and they'll be putting their lunch box down in their box and they'll put their drink down in their other box. So they know organization. And obviously, so, this detracts and takes away from maybe the parent obviously having the organization and putting it back on the child. So we'll say, kids will say like, oh, you have to have 100% attitude. And I think, yes, great, one win. Bring your racket. Yes. Okay. Bring your drink. Yes. Okay. Bring appropriate clothing for the weather that you're in. So sun hat, sun cream, or like heavy coats, wear more and then you can peel off later sort of thing. Yes. Okay. And then we have like five win lists. So when they kind of turn up, even if their tennis isn't great, the win list is there. They've had one success and they've learned how to be organized. So that's kind of like one example that I would say to parents, like, or, you know, obviously coaches, if you're out there, you're kind of setting it. If you want a simple theme, I know obviously we're talking about like kids stopping like tennis and things, but if they start to see like little sideline mini wins, that definitely helps in terms of building their kind of rapport with you, but obviously their own kind of personality traits. Like you say, some kids are very much in the game and just do whatever they need to do, but others, parents out there, you'll know you're going to resonate to this, that your child kind of goes and you think they're maybe a bit lazy, or they're just not, you know, they haven't got that drive that some kids might have. And I think, you know, let's just, without necessarily, I'm not a big fan of kind of like prizes and stuff like that, but I know you have to do it sometimes. But even if you have like your awards chart and your chart there to say, right, okay, if you can tell, you know, if you've enjoyed your time, we'll give you a star. You know, if you've brought your five wins to one training session, you get another star. And obviously, if you want to not be the big prize, I don't know, like 5-1 prize, you can make it 20 stars to a prize, depending on how you want to be with your child. But I suppose ultimately, did you get 5-4 hands over? Did you get a catch? Did you get 10 catches, depending on your ability? You know, that gets yourself a star. And I suppose then it's the relationship to the sport, maybe. So it could be square rather than triangle. It could be the tennis, the player, parent, and the coach, right? So each sport is different in their own entirety. And how you set your goals and things might be something to consider. So, you know, a bit of a discussion point, obviously, kids, if your kids are thinking about dropping out of a sport, before they do, before going the easy route and just saying, nope, I know it's very hard because I am a parent and we obviously have it where kids just don't want to go. You know, I think there needs to be somewhat a push at a young age just to kind of nudge them over the edge, you know, nudge them towards getting back into the sport, and then offering those kind of little incentives and maybe speaking to the coach about, you know, do they do something like that and obviously whether that can happen. And then hopefully we reduce the, you know, the risk of kids dropping out. So just to give you a nice fun fact in our area, we did this is for 11 to 18 year olds, and of about 150 people that were asked, how many people play sport? I'm going to put the question out. In our area, what do you think the percentage of kids that play sport to not play sport is?
What's the are we talking
about 11 to 18 year olds? So this is secondary school kids.
Secondary school and outside of school, so extracurricular, yeah. Basically. I would say, it's going to hurt me to say it because the number should be higher, but I reckon it'll be about 30%.
Okay, well that's interesting. Okay, so higher, so we're a 50-50.
Okay.
But the stat in itself is quite alarming to me, especially the non-sporting stat. I know there's not like kids that might not like sport, but we always ask as coaches why they might not like our sport. Can we make it better for them? That type of thing. Parents, I know you're trying to get your kids off screens. It is like the biggest thing, you know, at the moment, and trying to get them active. Everything's very much an instant access kind of lifestyle society now, whereas, you know, back in my day, sounding old, you know, everything was more patient. You had to wait for certain things to happen versus it being a quick message, you know, that type of thing. So we're living in an instant world, I think it's fair to say. And obviously, if your kids are on screen, I would say, you know, as I say to my kids, if they go and do an activity like tennis, football, whatever it is, go and do an hour and a half, 2 hours, and kind of earn the right to feel like they need to have a rest and play a game. Does that make sense? to answer one side of a question. And I mean, obviously 50% of those kids, there's a large amount of people that will play, that won't play sport, but they're on the screens all the time. So then we've got health benefit, not health benefits, health disadvantages that say that come into play. Anyway, to conclude, I think we need to conclude this. So I think, Andy, you're on the side that parents, you need to be doing, having that relationship with your child and kind of asking those questions and motivating, which I think definitely, you know, we need to do that. And on talking from a coaching point of view, coaches out there that are listening to this and parents, obviously, we need to also give them the fun element, but also we need to let them understand that failing is a part of, you know, everyday life, and things will be hard, and we've got to try and make that a little bit easier for ourselves. So whether it be rallying the charts, whether it be asking quick questions, whether it be speaking to coaches, I think that's the main thing you've got to start doing with your children. It's been great to speak to you, Andy. Hope you've all enjoyed it.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Until next time. Show me love.